The Money Show.
Make Money Mondays.
Yeah, it's Make Money, but in a different way. Make a Difference Mondays. We want NGOs. We want charities. We want you to take the money that you, some of the money, not all of it. We want you to take some of the money that you make, some of the profit that you make, and we want you to give it to a good cause. We want to inspire you to do it in a clever way. We want to inspire you to do it in a way that perhaps you hadn't considered before. And we want you to do it happily and maybe even to change the culture of your own organization. Now, some of these you may have heard of. Some of them are from big organizations and they've had lots of coverage. But we thought it would be worthwhile to talk about some of the big ones plus some of the little ones. I am still taken aback by the popcorn guy last week who starts a business with $1,500 and is so determined to give back. And is so determined that he is going to make the lives of small kids better. Kids who've got absolutely nothing. A pair of school shoes can change their lives. For example, it's that kind of giving that we're talking about on Make a Difference Mondays. If you think you've got a CSI initiative or a program that you would like to talk about and you'd like us to share, contact at 702.co.za. Email us and we'd love to tell your story. Imperial launched the, and Imperial is a logistics company. Imperial also sells motor cars. So it's in that motoring sort of space. And Berenice Francis is Imperial's group commercial executive. About 2 years ago, Berenice went on this drive to get old baby seats to refurbish them and distribute them in a country where road death stats are nothing short of horrific.
Hi, Bruce. Yes, we did. We've actually run the Car Seats for Kids program for about 5 years now. And we coincided with October, which is Transport Month.
I'm all ears. Yeah. You launched October 2015. You were supported by the Department of Basic Education. So you went to schools and you spoke to people, to kids in schools, because frankly, the only way to drive change is through kids in schools. Mm-hmm. They will bully their parents into doing the right thing. Can you measure how effective you've been?
So the measurement we have is we've looked at how many schools we've visited. So we started our program around 2012. With our Safer Roads Start With You journey. And then we looked at how do we make tangible differences to the communities that we serve. And education was quite key. And what we worked with the Department of Basic Education is actually doing scholar patrols. We refurbished those specific scholar patrols. And we started out with about 720. And what we learned was that when we did the scholar patrols, we did a bit of education to the schools. And that was actually more popular, and it made more of an impact to the broader school community than just refurbishing the scholar patrols. And then we embarked, as you mentioned, on a very specific, very deliberate program with support from the Department of Basic Education on educating about, we're at 1,400 schools now, which is over 1.3 million kids. Who actually went through a program where we educate them on the basics of road safety. We've got a mascot called Bongi Buckle Up Buddy. And really through interactive dance and teaching, reinforced messages to scholars at a very young age.
And is there any way of measuring the success of this? I mean, a kid who doesn't get hit at a zebra crossing is not a statistic anybody's ever going to collect.
Yeah.
But the mere fact that you are changing mindsets in the minds of children and when they're sitting in the car with mum and dad and they drive over a zebra crossing without thinking, perhaps the voice in the back seat acts as the conscience.
Very right, Chris. It's not just the kids in the cars, but the kids being taken to school by guardians. It's also around pedestrians. I mean, you know what the statistics on road safety are. I think last year I saw it's horrific. It's like about 14,000 fatalities in 2016, of which about 39% are pedestrians.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of our kids walk to school. So what we've also done is with the help of the GBE in high-risk areas, we've even given out reflective sashes so that it can become part of the school uniform so that as a child you become more aware of how vulnerable you are and also that you become empowered to raise your voice when you're seeing someone doing something wrong. I think that's very important in what we do.
Berenice Francis, thank you. Imperials Group Commercial Executive. Also, that fabulous baby seat program and going into schools and getting kids to be more conscious of road safety and also influencing parents in that way. Massive project. 1.3 million kids have been reached through that. Before the internet, Flight Center was the big disruptor. It turned the travel agency model on its head, and it's still very lean and mean when you go into travel agencies. No frills approach to managing offices. I remember talking to them when they first launched, and it was about keeping the office tidy and emptying the bins yourself and really paring down the costs of running an office. Let's talk to Diane Cleary, who's project manager with the Flight Center Foundation. How many flight centers are there in South Africa approximately nowadays, Diane?
Hi, Bruce. We have approximately 174 stores countrywide at the moment.
So reports of the death of the travel agency due to the internet are slightly over-exaggerated.
No, absolutely, Bruce. You know, at the end of the day, people still want good service, and this is what Flight Center Travel Group offers, good service.
Okay, now tell me about the bursaries that you're doing, because you can. Every company's chief goal is to make a profit and to take some of that profit and to use it for good. How do you use money for good?
Right. Okay, Bruce. Basically, with Flight Center, they are a company with heart. This is true of all the Flight Center Travel Group right across the country and right across the world. So each country has their own foundation, and each one runs quite independently. And in South Africa, obviously, depending on what the needs are, and South Africa does obviously education. So in terms of education, we have got 8 young people on bursaries. We've got 3 early childhood development centers. We have an after-school program for 100 children in Cape Town. And then we also are busy with the whole school project in Gidkloof in Soweto.
Why? What does it do for Flight Center to get involved in communities, in education? What impact does it have on the people who are sitting at computers all day looking for the lowest cost price of flights for their customers? Does it make a slightest bit of difference in their lives?
I think it does. You know, at the end of the day, we're all South Africans, and we all need to work together for the future generations of the country. This is not only our staff, but also the people that come in and buy from us. And I think it's important for the people that come and use our services to know that we are a company that is looking to the future and worrying about our future generations and a sustainable difference to their lives.
Do you get Flight Center staff involved in any way directly, or is it simply a financial contribution?
No, not at all. Our staff are involved in a number of ways. The first one is that a lot of our staff make monthly contributions to the foundation through their salaries. This can range anything from 20 Rand to 500 Rand a month. And our staff are also involved in CSI days. So we get groups of us and go and do various things. In fact, today we were at a school in Soweto doing a Christmas party for 436 children. And we had a team of about 30 Flight Center staff.
Diane Cleary, project manager with the Flight Center Foundation. 2 examples of making a difference. Kagiso Trust is absolutely huge. We're going to talk to them about the sort of work that Kagiso Trust is doing. And then an unusual CSI program for a civil and structural engineering consulting company. All that in the next 10 minutes or so. Right, Make a Difference Mondays, Mad Mondays, talking to companies big and small. If you've got a great idea, then tell us how you are making a difference in the community in which you live, a community that you serve, a community next door to you. Big or small, I don't care whether it's a 1,000 Rand project or a 1,000,000 Rand project. Frankly, all I want from you is a little bit of innovation, a little bit of thinking, a little bit of doing things differently in a way that maximizes your company's participation, the way in which your colleagues go and they just love being part of this and they just wish they could do it more often. But they have to go and they have to make the profits to make it possible for them to go. You understand? And just tell us how you're changing the world. Let's talk to Nontando Mtatwa, who is the head of communications and marketing with Kagiso Trust. Just Nontando, just explain to me, please, Kagiso Trust, which is this vast NGO, probably one of the biggest in South Africa. You've got a very substantial asset base.
Yes, thank you for having me, Bruce. As you've mentioned, we're a development agency. mainly focused in supporting education initiatives, looking at how can we provide holistic support to schools, specifically in rural communities, because you find that's where a lot of companies, you know, shy away from because they're hard to support because of distance or resources. But more than education, we also have initiatives in socioeconomic development, and that's because we want to make a contribution in terms of growing the economy and as such supporting small to medium-sized companies that can create jobs in communities.
Okay, so I mean, the idea here is, and you, so how do you raise the money? Because I see there are lots of companies that participate that then support and channel funds into Kagiso Trust.
Well, there are various channels. We particularly encourage collaborations and partnerships because you find that in the CSI or development space, a lot of investments are made, but we don't collaborate and leverage on each other's resources for greater impact. So, for instance, we have quite a number of partnerships in the programs that we implement. In our education program, we have a partnership with the Free State Department of Education because that's where we currently implement support to over 300 schools, as well as a partnership with the Sir Ramaphosa Foundation, where we've equally contributed funds towards the implementation of the program. But what we also have are investment companies or shareholding in various companies that then allow us from the dividends to be able to finance the development work that we do.
So it's really important that you are sustainable. It's really important that you essentially run like a business, and the business is to do sustainable to do sustainable good work.
Yes, we definitely do encourage that NGOs look at how they identify opportunities or gaps to be able to create financial or revenue generation income opportunities so that they're not necessarily reliant on donor funding, because to some degree, being reliant on donor funding limits your trajectory or the agenda that you can pursue.
It's a case of being sustainable. The biggest project that you've done this year?
The biggest projects that we have done this year, we have, as mentioned, a partnership in the Free State. We're working in two districts, in the Fezile Tabi district as well as the Motewa district. We're supporting 322 schools through a partnership where we've invested about 400 million in the schools that we are supporting. And it's looking at how do we, one, provide curriculum support to the educators, because we find that there are content gaps in some of the educators in terms of being able to deliver subjects to their learners. So we'd implement a curriculum support program. We'd also implement a team building, we call them retreat session, where we sort out the relational issues, because you find that it's not always resources that are an issue, but how people are able to relate or plan for implementation in terms of how they will be supporting their kids, identifying where are areas of weakness. And also then looking at infrastructure, because we work in rural communities, you find that infrastructure is a real challenge. Basic infrastructure such as classrooms or toilets are in a bad condition. Yeah. So really look at how do we invest in those schools so that they at least have an environment that is conducive to learning for the kids.
Nthando Mthethwa, thank goodness for the sort of work that is being done by the NGO sector. She's the head of communications and marketing at Kagiso Trust, bringing us up to speed with the work that they are doing. Final one for our Make a Difference Mondays: companies and organizations making a difference in society, much needed difference, is the civil and structural engineering consulting firm UWP Consulting. And it's called Nurture a Girl. Now, usually engineering is very male. The chief executive of UWP Consulting, Nonkululeko Sindane, joins us. Nonkululeko, welcome to The Money Show this evening. He has an engineering firm, Nurturing a Girl. What was the motivation behind this?
Thank you. Good evening, and thanks for having me on your show, Bruce. The purpose behind this, one, is just being a South African company, realizing the real struggles that girls face on a daily basis. day-to-day basis in accessing education and then thereafter accessing job opportunities and or starting their own businesses. So one of our targets as a company that is in South Africa is to ensure that we become part of the solution to problems that are facing the country. And so this little initiative for us is intended to do just that.
So what do you do?
The initiative targets the most impoverished of girls in various schools where our offices exist. We are a civil engineering and structural engineering company, as you've said. We operate throughout South Africa, and wherever we are at, we choose a school from which we will then choose those girls, and predominantly the schools will be either in township areas and or in rural areas where these girls come from. The choice really is that they must be in need for support, and that support really for us is absolutely necessary for those girls to be at school throughout the year, because research shows us that a lot of girls drop out from school simply because they do not have the basic minimum support.
I mean, and how do you go about identifying who is and who you can and who you can't help? Because in a country like South Africa, where the need is so deep and so desperate, how do you say yes and no when you have to?
Girls come from communities, and primarily they are more in touch with the schools where they are at. So what we do is, firstly, we worked through the schools themselves. We identified the schools. We identified the relevant teachers through the principal, of course, who then gave us access to those girls, and beyond which we then worked with teachers who told us about the family histories of the identified girls who are at most need, and then those were the girls that we then partnered with. There was a very structured process, I might say, and this structured process is assisting us, because even though we do a program on a year-on-year basis, but we want to the program to be sustainable so that we can go beyond a year, beyond their time at school, all the way perhaps potentially to college. So how we identified them is the social workers got involved, we got involved, the parents got involved, and we signed agreements between the girl, the parent or the guardian, the school, in other words, the teacher, as well as UWP, so that all of us made commitments to this program, and we are pushing it as hard as we can and as passionate as we can. And I can tell you, it is making a difference, however small.
You bring tears to my eyes, Nonkululeko. Nonkululeko Sendani, Chief Executive at UWP Consulting and Engineering Firm, and doing what they can. So we're talking about however small. And that's the point. If everybody did something, however small, the magnifying effect of that would be absolutely huge. What a lovely story.